Each week we sit down with Simon Antrobus. He's the chief executive of RNIB and discuss some of the stories or what Simon's been up to in his weeks at RNIB. Thank you for joining us again, Simon.
Hi, Alan.
Now, you're out and about again, getting around parts of RNIB, because we always talk about the organisation itself. It's very large. Geographically, it's very spread out as well. And you're heading to Belfast soon.
Yeah, part of my introduction to the organisation and learning about what we do, as I'm 3 months in, is getting out there and understanding the activities that happen in Scotland. Fantastic work we do there. Been to Wales and Cardiff. It's taken some time to get there, but I'm off to Belfast to understand a bit more about how we support blind and partially sighted people in Northern Ireland. So it's an important part of the process. And do you know, Alan, I'm super impressed with what we do. In all of the four nations, we really think long and hard about the difference we want to make and ensure that we're set up so that we can deliver amazing support to blind and partially sighted people, which is absolutely critical, but equally that we're influencing the things that happen in those particular nations. Because as we know, and you will know, it's not the same. So you can't apply this one size fits all. You can't assume that what you do in England is going to be replicated across all four nations. So you've got to be set up and well established in each of the nations to deliver against our outcomes and our expectations.
Is it a bit overwhelming at times when you go to, say, you know, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, and the different setups there? I mean, people probably think, well, it's a sight loss organisation, but you have, you know, political differences, you perhaps have charities which collaborate differently in the different countries as well. So, you know, you're not just going around finding out, oh, this is what you do for campaigns or this is what you do for fundraising. There's lots of kind of derivatives in there as well to learn and get your head around.
Oh, my word. Yeah. And I mean, sometimes you might call it overwhelming, but I think it's it can equally be energizing and inspiring and enthusing in equal measure, Alan. You know, I mean, I've come from the sector anyway that works across the UK. So I understand the complexities and the nuances and the need to reflect that. So I think what's layered on here is not only the fact that we have got different political establishments in each of those nations, but we've also got a different experience that blind and partially sighted people have in terms of the support services they might get from their health services or the local authority. So we've got to try and understand how all of that works. And for me, it's an incredible learning opportunity as well. And I've been super impressed, as I've said, so far with what I've met and come across in England, Scotland and Wales. And I expect it will be exactly the same in Belfast as well.
Do you ever feel there's a bit of a pressure on yourself when you go round to almost hit the ground running every time you get somewhere, despite knowing, you know, there's going to be a lot of differences when you arrive?
Well, I think you have to approach it with a level of humility and acknowledgement that you don't know everything. I think if you were coming in with trying to create an impression that you knew absolutely everything, you would find that incredibly difficult. But this is an opportunity for me to be curious and to develop my understanding and learning. And if I take that approach, then all's good in my book. And it's a really important part of the role that you play as a CEO of an organisation is, one, of course, is learning and understanding about the organisation and what it does. But the second is showing up and being there and being part of the conversation. So all good for my induction, but equally, you know, a really important part of showing up as the leader of the organisation.
As well as going around the organisation around the UK, that there's also lots of groups and partners that RNIB has, whether that's in the third sector or commercial, political, etc. So on. You've been learning a bit more about those around sort of visionary groups as well.
I joined my first vision partnership meeting. That's a group of sight loss charities that have come together to collectively work on some of the big issues facing blind and partially sighted people. So you've got the Thomas Pocklington Trust, you've got Guide Dogs, Retina UK, Glaucoma UK, Blind Veterans. We're all there in the room having conversations about the really important issues. And that's a really good thing, because sometimes, would you believe, in this world, charities can be a little bit competitive with each other. And here's an opportunity for us to leave our egos at the door and come together and talk about the really important issues. And it's chaired by the Thomas Pocklington Trust. We had a really important conversation and session on the powerfulness of lived experience, how that's playing out across our organizations, how we want to make sure we're setting the standard in that space. Ongoing issues and conversations, as we've already talked about over a number of weeks, Alan, around access to work and employment and how we can strengthen the chances of blind and partially sighted people finding themselves in work and how we can support that. This whole issue of partnerships as well, it's really important that, as I say, we understand that the power of our own organization, but we're able to work collectively together. And one of the things that I think where we really can bring some real power to the sight loss sector and our work in partnership is around influencing government. So some conversations about that as well. It's really interesting opportunity again to learn more about those organizations and the sight loss sector itself, but equally to generate some collective energy and enthusiasm around collectively doing things differently for blind and partially sighted people.
You always flag up is lived experience, the importance of that. So most people would think it's strange that charities, coming together are still discussing the importance of it or improving lived experience as well, which has got to be a good thing, but it's still on the table.
I think it's fundamental, Alan, to delivering good outcomes. If your organisation is for and about a certain client group, so for us, blind and partially sighted people, if you want to deliver the best outcomes, the best services, then you need to be absolutely 100% focused on engaging blind and partially sighted people in the decision-making process for your organization. That's always been a commitment. I don't think it's gone away. I think what happens is it shapes and moves and develops over time. And as things change, we need to change with them as well. And new ideas and thoughts come in around co-production, collaboration, lived experience, participation. And if an organization wants to continue to be committed to that space, it needs to move with the times and make sure it's remaining focused on learning in that space. And it's good when you come together as organizations to share your experiences in that space, because that's how you learn and grow and develop. And it's also good to hold ourselves to account as well, isn't it? And for me, as I say, it's a foundational thing. If you've got a real sense of how lived experience can help shape RNIB, you're setting yourself up for success.
It's interesting you mentioned about charities being competitive, which I suppose they can be as well. Whether that's making connections, whether it's commercially or politically as well. But I suppose in providing the best possible service, in case there's any overlaps there, then you're perhaps competing for funding as well. Did you get a sense that is more of a priority now for collaborative working? I don't want to say stepping on each other's toes, but perhaps, not competing in some of those areas I've mentioned.
Well, that's exactly it, Alan. I think the more organizations that occupy the same kind of space come together and talk, the greater we can focus on the things that really matter for us, as opposed to anything and any opportunity to raise money. Of course, we want to do our best, and that competitive mindset is really important. We want to win, but not at the expense of everybody else. And I think that's a really important part of what these partnerships can deliver, a much more open and transparent approach to thinking about delivering the change we want to see for blind and partially sighted people. So yeah, there's always an element of competitiveness. And I don't mean that in a kind of winners and losers. I mean, in terms of showing up to do our best every single day for blind and partially sighted people. And for me, that's a really important part of what charity should be all about, because we want to win for blind and partially sighted people, don't we? And part of being in that kind of competitive nature, for me, also plays to this point about if you want to win, you've got to be prepared to learn when things don't go as you had imagined. And that's part of that whole kind of culture of work, I think, because ultimately we want to be our very best to deliver the best outcomes, but equally we need to be prepared to be at our best when we're in that kind of learning mode as well.
the power of collaboration. Now, if you'd like to find out more about RNIB's work, or you'd like to get in touch with the team, there's ways you can do that. Have a look at the website, rnib.org.uk. You can also get the helpline on 0303 123 9999. You can use your smart speaker as well to call the helpline. Just ask it to call RNIB's helpline. Simple as that. We're out of time once again. We'll catch up with you again next week, Simon, and enjoy the trip to Belfast.
Thanks very much, Alan.